very rewarding chapter in the Bible. We thank the Lord for it. Don't throw in a towel. I like to title these messages, and as I got to going into this message, I thought I might want to change the title and change it to "Will God Be Enough?" But anyway, don't throw in a towel. We're going to read several verses tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, you can take one verse or half a verse, but now we're going to take several verses, verse 32 through 40, but we're going to zero in on just one, verse 35 and what comes after. But anyway, don't throw in a towel. You know, the Bible says four different places in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says the just shall live by faith. The New Testament, Hebrews 10 and 38, and also Romans 1 and 17, three different times in the Bible, this verse says the just shall live by faith. Jesus Christ, when he was going to heal these two blind men, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If you really, what he is saying, that you believe that I can do it. And according to your faith, it would be done. And evidently they said yes, because they was healed. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God, without faith. And that's absolutely correct. So Christians, what happens sometimes is when our faith seems to fail, what happens to us when our faith seems to fail? For instance, we have loved ones that are sick, and we're here tonight, we're praying for people's loved ones, and a lot of prayers offered up for different type of sickness, and we pray for our loved ones, oh Lord, heal my child, or most of us have prayed that, it's got children, or Lord, heal my loved one, heal some of my family, or heal the people we have called out tonight. And we pray this prayer in earnesty, and we know what the Bible says, that you shall live by faith, according to your faith be it unto you. And we pray this prayer for our loved ones and our family, and sometimes they get worse. Sometimes they get worse, and you know, and we wind up standing over them so many times, and maybe we even follow them out in a casket to a grave site somewhere, and we plant their body in a grave. And we say, well, we've tried and we've trusted and we believe God, but it seemed like our faith just failed when we pray for our loved ones. And many times whenever we pray for someone, it seemed like they just get worse. Don't throw in a towel. Don't quit when this happens. And remember, will God be enough? And a lot of times we say, well, what's the use? It's not working. And remember, we all might come to this part in our life when it seemed like all our faith and all the prayers and seemed like things goes the other way, and it seemed like it's not working. And sometimes, you know, as Christians, we're not immune to the same thing that lost people are immune to, because, you see, we're going to go through trials and temptations and tribulations and heartaches and tears and fears. It seemed like so many times, maybe that faith just seemed like it won't remove these things out of our life. And we know what faith says. We know what God says about faith. Well, I tell you, the part we're going to read tonight is chapter 11, is why it was written to someone when they served the Lord, and they come under great persecution here in these verses of scripture we fix and read, but yet they didn't escape it. They still come under these trials and fiery trials. And then you see so many of these televangelist preachers on television preaches his health and faith religion, and if you got enough of faith, you'd be healthy, and you know, God don't want nobody to suffer, and all this stuff is really alienated from the Bible. It's not the word of God. And they'll say, you know, if you got enough of faith, you know, you can do this and do that. And then, but what happens whenever it don't work? What happened to these faith healers whenever people don't get any better, they get worse? Well, here, according to the Bible, we're going to read some verses of Scripture here tonight on chapter 10. We might back up in chapter 10, in verse 36. It says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And it goes into chapter 11, as we've been in for a couple of months. But we're going to start here on verse 32, where I spent two or three Wednesday nights on the different names in verse 32. It says, "And what shall I say or more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom and wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed violently in fighting, turned to fighting the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." Whoa, that sounds good, don't it? I'll stop right there for just a moment. Boy, sign me up then. That sounds good. All the things that happened to those people. Man, I'm going to tell you what. That was supernatural faith. Man, that was great faith, wasn't it? And then this word comes right in the middle of these verses. And others. And others. You better remember this, because sometimes you might want to say, hey, these others were tortured. Not accept deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. And others, trial of cruelty, mockery, scorning, yea, moreover, in bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted, slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all have attained a good report. Now, they had a report card like the other top of the ones I just read. Both of them had a report card. What these have on their report card, or what did they get on their report card? Through faith received not the promise. They got A plus, just like the top group did. But they didn't escape. But they got A plus on their report, just like the top bunch did. Now, chapter 11 is the champion of faith, all the way from Abel to Moses. We like to hear about these. And from verse 32 to 35, man, these great spiritual leaders, these great supernatural things that happened to them, well, we like to read about them. But then when you stop, you see, and then others, you say, well, sign me up. I like that top bunch. I like wanting to be one of them. But these others. And then I read there for verse 35 through 39, whenever these others, you see, we be praying, and there's some people we already mentioned on our prayer list, is others. I don't know, Marshall said that with his niece, it was just settled back up, got cancer in 3 or 4 different places, and lungs and liver and pancreas and everything else. They don't tell how many prayers have been offered up for that lady. And you know what gets me, one person to have this type of cancer, other than the same room, they might have this type of cancer. Same kind. They treat this person and this one here recover. They treat this person and it goes on to be with the Lord or it goes out of this world. Same God, same medicine, same cancer. There's a top part, then there's others. Would you say now these top part, I mean, they had more faith than these others? No. No. Last bunch, a lot of people say, if you listen to these people on television, well, they must not have enough of faith. They didn't get out of this. They didn't escape the fire. They didn't get out of it. They didn't escape, but they endured. You see, the first thing, mature faith believed in the supernatural power of God. That's this top bunch. They endured. Both groups had this mature faith. Don't throw in a towel. Some escape, some endures. But all of them had the faith. Now, you and I have both seen people that they come to church and think like everything is rosy and smooth. Boy, Lord, just to bless them and bless them. Then all of a sudden, a crisis comes in their life. And say, hey, I thought this thing was supposed to be rosy. Hey, I thought we were supposed to be picking daisies. And then crisis comes in their life. And you see, sometimes they say the bottom falls out and they just quit. They say, hey, this thing's not working. They don't endure. God didn't promise us a rose garden. They don't continue. They say by their action, this is not working. I'm having problems. I thought the Lord was supposed to get me out of these problems. God didn't say he'd come get us out of these problems. He came to get into problems with us. He come getting the problems with us. They have immature faith when they quit. These people had faith to endure right on to the end. You know, there's no telling what me or you will have to go through before we leave this earth. We don't know. We see a lot of people with cancer and strokes and all different type of sickness. Go to nursing homes, you see some people in bad shape. You know, there's things worse than dying, and that's living in condition that some of the people lives in. But they had these people here at this bottom half and others, they had the faith to endure. See, the top part, yeah, that was good. That was supernatural power of God in their life and just redeemed them, brought them out and through all these different types of trials and tribulations. But God didn't see fit to bring these bottom people out. They went through it. You know, me and you can't understand why, but it happened to them. It might happen to you. These principles, you know, that we see here, these three type of principles or three different type of tests for you and I. This top part, you know, they had the mature faith because they believe in the supernatural power of God, yes. But then we have these others. Now, this top of the list, now we like to read about this, and we heard most of these stories of these top ones since we've been kids, you know, Daniel and the Lion's Den. We're probably going to be into that in the book of Daniel. We might go through that. Daniel and the Lion's Den, you know, where he was thrown in the lion's den, you know, and the Lord just shut the mouth of the lions, and he just pulled him up a line for a pillar, and he got his Old Testament Bible out, and he just read through the lines. Y'all get that in a minute. I like that supernatural power, now don't y'all? That's supernatural power. You know, and we read about the three Hebrew children in your book of Daniel, throwed to fire. They didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. David and Goliath, you know, 9 foot tall, you know. They thought that he was just too big for Daniel. Daniel thought his God was too big for that Goliath, and he was. That old Peter in the New Testament, you know, he got put in jail. The greatest jailbreak there was when old Peter was thrown in jail. Angel come down and got old Peter out of jail. And you know what? Old Peter had more difficulties getting to a prayer meeting than he did, you know, after he got out of jail, than he did all while he was in jail, going to a prayer meeting. The supernatural power of God. Now, God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. He can't fail. And you can remember that. So we like this part, you know, where this mature faith is believing the supernatural power of God. We like these stories. We like that. But then really what really gets us a little bit, what we can't quite understand there, is this second part. Mature faith bows to the sovereignty purpose of God. He's got that person going to go through certain things. And you might be the one that God's going to, you're going to go through some certain things in your life that you may not understand. When you come back to this mature faith, it's bowing to the sovereign purpose that God's got a purpose for that in your life. And you may not understand it while you're on this side of eternity. The purpose that why that you might have to go through some of these things. God might have chosen you to go through some of these things. As we think about this, verse 35 through 38 and others that we read about. Both group have mature faith. One group escaped. Other group endured and kept continuing on. And how they was stoned. Zacharias, according to the Bible, he was stoned. Well, we know that Stephen was stoned to death. And you know, what's the difference? Old Peter, when he was filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 souls got saved. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, and he got 3,000 stones, probably. Both of them was filled with the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. One got 3,000 stones, and one got 3,000 souls saved. But God had a purpose in both of their lives. See, old Peter, he escaped from prison. Stephen didn't get a chance to escape. He was the other. That God had a greater purpose in mind for him. And it says, you know, some in verse 37, some was sawed asunder. Tradition tells us that was probably Isaiah, the old king, put him in a hollow tree and sawed him in two with a cross-cut saw, according to traditions that we read about. Sawed asunder, as you think about this. Wandered about in sheepskins and clothings. If y'all ever read the Fox Book of Martyr, I mean, it's a book to read, I'm telling you about what the early Christian had to go through. And this big arena, what they would do a lot of time would send Christians out on the big arena. They'd turn the lions loose and let them just tear them apart. Sometimes they'd sew them in skins, animal skins. I've read where they'd, you know, and put them out there where the lions would tear them up. And sometimes they'd even sew their kids up and put poison snakes. I just, all type of thing that you read about what they would do and have fun and sport about how they would dispose of Christians. And could you imagine them, though, that really served the Lord and well, what happened to their kids right before their eyes? And, you know, and back in the New Testament times, as we people, sometimes they come to church and say, what type of program do you have for our children? Can you imagine the New Testament church when they ask, what type of program do you have for our children? I'll tell you what we have for your children. We'll sew them up in lions, in sheepskins, and we'll throw them out to where the lions. That's what we have. The food in the fellowship. Well, the lions going to have the food, and they won't be much fellowship for their kids. And just remember these bloodthirsty people. You just better not try to get your theology from circumstances. You better not get your theology from God from circumstances in your life or anybody else's life. Because if you do, you come to a point in your life that God just don't love you. If you try to get your theology from circumstances that you can't even understand, we don't have the mentality, and God's not going to tell us all about everything anyway, why we have to go and why we have see people suffer through the things that they suffer. So don't get your theology from circumstances. Because you see, there's a whole group of people that call believers, you know, that believes, you know, if you have enough of faith, that you won't ever get sick. I wonder what they do whenever people dies. I reckon that person didn't have enough of faith. There's a whole group of people believes that way. If you just got enough of faith, you know you can be healed. If you got enough faith, you can be healed. Now, of course, this is not nothing new. In the book of John chapter 11, Jesus, you know that Lazarus was sick, and it says there in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. And then you see, you know, Lazarus got sick and they went after Jesus Christ. And then verse 14 said, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15, and I'm glad. Now that's from the lips of Jesus Christ. I mean, my brother, Lord, if you come now, he's sick. If you come, he's sick. And then Jesus didn't come and he died. And then he was coming, and they went to him, and he said, you know, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. That's our Savior talking. Now, that's hard for us to understand, but we read, for your sake, that I was not here to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go into him. Now, what happened to Lazarus, you know, that he didn't promise us that we weren't going to go through difficulties or death. But he has promised us that ultimately we'll get the victory. Right? We're going to get the victory. It may not be in these old worn out bodies that we got to go through. You know, now we're supposed to witness to people, and we're supposed to do as much as we can, get everybody that we know of in contact with Jesus Christ. But did you know what? On your sick bed or death bed, all through your life, you might be served Jesus Christ for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And did you know that you might do more on your death bed for a soul to be saved than all the time that you have lived here with a healthy body? You just don't know what position God's going to put you in and what's going to happen from hereafter. You just don't never know. Lazarus, he had a promise that we don't ultimately understand, but we know that we're going to get the victory of it. But God had a greater plan for Lazarus. And I believe Jesus Christ must have read Romans to them before it was even wrote. In Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now here's to the others. One of these days I'm telling you that I might be one of those others. Now I've been in a position that I know the church prayed for me. And I tell you, and Brother Stevie Sweat can tell you, and others can tell you too, when you're going through some difficulties and you know the church, people's praying for you, you know what? There's something that I cannot tell you and explain to you how the makes difference it makes when you know that people's praying for you. And I went through that, I mean, with great success through my bypass surgery. And I knew it was because of the prayers of the people. And here, I think Jesus Christ has said, you know, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conqueror through him that loves us. No matter what happens, you know that God is going to be with us. And we're going to go through this thing with God. And we may not understand it. We say, Lord, I'm ready to get out of this world. Now, it may become a time. And I know I've been on the bedside of some people. And they didn't really want to pray to stay here. They want to pray to go on home. I could name some. I won't. Now, for us not understand these others. You know, there was a man called John the Baptist. Jesus Christ says, not a greater man been born of woman than John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had this same thing happen to him. He was one of those others. I mean, a man that was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. I mean, John had a spell of doubt. You know what? He was ready to throw in the towel. And that's where I got this from. And he was ready to quit. Now, he had been preaching repentance. I'm going to tell you, they said he ate honey, but he didn't preach honey. He preached repentance, and they called him a bunch of snakes that didn't believe it. Now, John, I'm going to tell you what, you bunch of rattlesnakes, and they put John in prison, and they're going to chop off his head. And he says, now, Lord, you know, I've been serving you. I've been doing all I've been doing. And he said, you know, I wonder, John says, is this really the Jesus Christ that I'm preaching about? And if you read your Bible, you find out that he sent his disciples to ask, hey, are you Jesus Christ, or we need to look for another one? Because it seemed like this is not working with for me. I'm in jail, my head's fixing to be cut off. So his disciples went and asked him. Y'all read that in the book of John. He went and asked him, hey, are you really the Messiah? But I've been true to Jesus Christ, and I've been preaching about him, and here I am in prison. But he sent his disciples, say, maybe we need to look for us another one. Because I figured I ain't losing my head over this thing. In Matthew chapter 11, go tell John, 11 and 4, Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see of me. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't throw in a towel, John. And blessed those, you know, it's don't get offended in me because it ain't working out like you thought it ought to work out, and you've been faithful all right. Don't get offended in me. Blessed are those, John, that don't get offended. It's not working out like you thought it ought to. Blessed are those that don't get offended in me. You see, a lot of times faith is not received from God so much as what we want. It is accepting from God what he gives us and what he allows. We think, you know, we got great faith, you know, we're going to get such and such from God. But you see, the greater faith is accepting these others, what God gives and allow. Jesus Christ says, John, don't be offended now. You know, and you might be one of those saying, now, hey, I have been in church now for 40 years. I've done everything I know to do. I have served the Lord. I've prayed. I've been attending church. I've done everything that God intended. And then this happens to you, and you have no reason why it's happened to you. And the prayers of the people just seem like it just don't break through. Don't throw in a towel and don't get offended at God. And a lot of people says, well, now, if you got enough of faith, you could be healed from this thing. That's a bad statement. Y'all know that? Because there's not a person in this building right now don't have enough of faith to be healed when you get sick. I got plenty of faith to be healed when I get sick. I don't have enough of faith to stay sick if God wants me to. That's the problem. These others, they had a faith too. But going through this when I don't want to go through this, that's where it really comes in at. To go and serve God, still serve God and pray regardless what happens to us. I've been faithful. I've done all this for you. Old John said, hey, I've been preaching. I'm going to tell you, a peace of repentance. I'm going to tell you, baptizing people. And here I have for doing all this, Jesus. And I've then asked you, you know, hey, you're the Messiah. And you got power to raise the dead. And I'm in prison. You can't get me out? John, blessed are those. Don't get offended at me. I got something greater for you. And heaven was waiting. Yeah, John went through it too. When it don't work out like you think it works out, do you have enough faith to still serve God? Don't throw in a towel. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 and 18 of Habakkuk 3. Although it says the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, that's on the grapevine, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and no olives. It says in the field shall yield no meat. There's nothing in the field is going to work out. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, all the young ones going to die, and there shall be no herds in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. No matter what. You know, the cupboard's bare. You know, when I read that verse of Scripture, that takes me back, as I said Sunday, whenever through this part of the country and through our state, for many years, for over 200 years, you know, people didn't depend on the government. You know, they depended on farming. Everybody, this whole country was farmers. There's a few cities, but most people depended on what they grew in the ground and what they had. And they've been, you know, some bad time for families and people. You know, the Dust Bowl and the early 30s and 20s and how there have been some tough times in this country. I mean, some tough time. And you read that verse 17, and that you see that, and we worked all year long, and seemed like, you know, no water, and the crops all dried up in the field. Weren't no fruit on the fruit trees, and there weren't no corn in the crib. There weren't no syrup in the barn. Weren't no taters in the tater bank. But yet they still believed in God, and God brought them through. How? A supernatural power of God. Because faith bows to the sovereign purpose of God. God had a purpose in that. Did you know that people was close to God because they depended upon God? They depended upon God. Because that's all there was God. I mean, you had nobody else to turn to. But humanism, we can do it without God. Through our farming, you know, we got the technology now because we're smart enough now, we can do it. We're smart enough. We got the technology. If it don't rain, we'll irrigate it. Hey, the fertilizer, we make our own fertilizer. We'll make our own nitrogen. We'll make our crops. We got the technology to do it. Before long, one of these days, you see all this stuff's going to fail. It's going to fail. You know why? We don't believe we need God because of our human ability that we have now. God gave us all this anyway. I mean, who do you think God allowed mankind to have this irrigation, all this power we got in this country? Other countries have richer byproducts than what we do. They got richer land and better land, but look what we do in the United States because of God. But we're getting away from depending upon God, what mankind can do. But old Bacchus said, no matter what happens, I'm going to still rejoice in the Lord because of what God of my salvation. And then as I move on kind of quickly on this third thing, mature faith is based on the subtle promise of God. God's promised us some things. Hebrews verse 39 and 40, as I've done read, and all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Huh, all right. You see, it includes all the saints, the Old Testament and the early church also in us today. Even though these others, they didn't have the answer of faith in their hands, all these others, but they had it in their heart. And that's what I'm telling you about the people that depended upon God. didn't know how they was going to get by. They weren't no doctors. They weren't no nothing. I mean, they survived on nothing but God. And things happened to them that they didn't have the answer in their hands as we do. We got an answer in our hands now, but we don't have it in our heart. We got an answer in our hands. Our hands can do it, but we don't have it in our heart. You see, they was a lot better than us because, see, they had in their heart, not in their hands. You know, we expect too much out of life and not enough out of God. You don't know the truth about it. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, we just went over these names at a prayer meeting, and we're praying for the loved ones, as we should, to be healed. But you see, a lot of times, like I said, and a lot of times, a lot of people we pray for, and they die. Well, what was our prayer? Our prayer meeting, was our prayer lost? No, it was heard. It was heard. You see, those are in heaven now, and they already hold. We're the ones that's sick. We're the ones that's sick. They're made like the Lord Jesus Christ now. We're the ones that's sick. Now we have prayer meeting, but you know what we do? Now, I'm just going to use Bonnie for an illustration, and then maybe this, your niece Marshall, that's set up, is eat up with cancer. Now you see, they know tell how many prayers have been prayed for both of them and others too. Lord, heal them, Lord, heal them, Lord, heal them. And what we do, and if they know the Lord, Lord, heal them, you know what we pray, and we pray them, keep them from going to heaven. We ought to be praying them on into heaven. We got more interest in praying and keeping the saints out of heaven than we got praying for the lost to keep them out of hell. Now, we had several names brought up and several people on each about praying for the saints. But how many people's name have been brought up to keep them out of hell? How many people have we prayed for the night to keep them out of hell? Now, which one most important? If they're saved, they're going to heaven. Amen? It's just a matter of time. But we're praying, oh, Lord, heal him. Oh, Lord, heal him. And he wants to carry him on to give him better things. Paul said it's better, you know. But we pray to keep him out of heaven. But what's worse tonight? And I wish we could get back to this and get our minds focused on the thing of praying for the lost, keep him out of hell. John 17:22-24, Jesus said, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou hast loved me from the foundation of the world." And then Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's some things that we really need to be praying for. Why do you follow Jesus Christ? Is it because of what he gives you? Because of your health? You follow Jesus Christ for you because of you want to stay healthy or whatever it might. Why are you really following Jesus Christ? Really? You just complete that. Is Jesus Christ the center of your life, Almighty God? You follow him regardless because he is God, and I'm going to get my joy no matter what happens. To others. You know, others. You know, a lot of times we don't like to talk about this other part, these other people. And you and I might be one of these others before we leave this earth. We've named some people as already others because I don't really think that the prayers is what they need for us to keep them out of, to pray them, keep them out of heaven. Pray for their healing. I dare wouldn't pray this, but I've been the bedside of people that was, they didn't want to hear nobody pray for them to heal their body. They had come to a point whenever they knew the healing they was going to get was from the other side. And they want to hear it. Hey, I pray for you, Mom. I pray for you, daughter. I pray for you, whatever. I pray for you that God may heal you. No, don't pray that prayer. I'm already seeing the light. And I know where my healing's coming from. God, if I was healed from this cancer, I'm going to still die. If you heal from your sickness that you have, And if your family, Bonnie, if she's healed from this and gets up and walks, she's still going through the doors of death if Jesus Christ don't come back. You're going. Now, we want this life to last as long as we have the quality of life that we have. But when God calls an end to the quality of life, you'll start looking upon that other side, because that's the only life that you're going to have, because this life is over with when that quality of life is gone. And then you'll see what Jesus Christ is talking about. When you give up everything that you've ever had, all your health, all your wealth, and everything, it comes down to nothing but you and Jesus Christ. You know that's all you have. But when you come to that point in your life, that's all that you'll ever need is Jesus and others. Don't throw in the towel. Is God enough for those others? And I might be one of those others. I don't know. I might be one of those others. I don't like to suffer. Do y'all? I don't like to be pain. I don't like being in pain. I'm a chicken. I like to be just as far from pain as I can be. And I know I was fixed to be operated on, and I couldn't figure out why in the world I had to be operated on. Lord, what am I now in this hospital doing a bypass surgery for? I know that I got, there's a reason why. I don't know what the reason was, but I know one reason I had to do that. I can say, Stevie Sweat, I know how you feel. And you might go through some things in your life that you might be able to tell somebody, hey, I've lost my son. I lost my mother. My child went through that sickness. And I could tell you, I know how you feel. And God will bring you through it also. He brought me through it. I don't know what God's got for those others. But if I'm one of those others, the same fate for those top bunch would be the same fate for me. Be of true faith that I still say, Lord, it's all of you. Let's bow in prayer this time as we